You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
NFL news of the moment. The Philadelphia Eagles hiring Nick Sirianni as their head coach. Sirianni had been Frank Reich's offensive coordinator for the last 3 years in Indy. So, some history or connection to Carson Wentz, maybe? While Sirianni doesn't call the plays in Indy, the 39-year-old has been credited with designing them. And I hear alarms going off already, so somebody loves this hire. Kevin Blackstone, Jackie McMullen, Sarah Spain around the home. Of course, thanks for being here. What type of hires did the Eagles just make, Sarah?
It feels risky to me, and it feels unnecessary to make the hire right now. I know there's always concern in this league that if you don't go out and get your guys, somebody else might. But this is not a name that we've heard, and there are so few open head coaching positions left that I don't need, that you need to go out and make this when you can still have the opportunity to interview other folks. Very limited sources speaking out about him so far, but from what we've heard, the expectations aren't super high. The offense wasn't that fantastic. Again, he wasn't calling the plays. To me, it feels like there's always going to be a concern, especially with everything that just went down at the end of that season for the Eagles, that the people above the head coach are using the coach as a bit of a puppet. And when you have someone that doesn't have a big name and a big reputation coming in, that's, of course, a concern. There's a lot to be figured out for this Eagles team. Will he have the authority to make decisions and to influence players and to have everybody feel like he's the man for the job on a team that is still, in theory, could be within their Super Bowl window
Nick
if they
Sirianni,
get it figured out.
Nick Sirianni, the Eagles' choice for head coach, for Kevin Blackstone. What do you think of the hire?
Not too much. Not familiar with him. And I thought that was an interesting critique that Sarah just served up on him, saying that he didn't necessarily call the plays. Well, that's one of the criticisms of Eric Bieniemy at Kansas City, that he doesn't necessarily call the plays of that fantastic offense, that it's really all of Andy Reid's doing. And so maybe that's why he's not the hottest candidate that we've made him out to be. It's more of the same from the NFL. That's what jumps out to me. It's not about who he is, but it's who he is not. Once again, the NFL has reached down the ladder to pull up a white coach to make into a head coach, when it seems like there are some candidates of color with much better resumes.
Mm-hmm. And Jackie McMullen, Sirianni for the Eagles.
Right, and you had some hope, KB, didn't you, that maybe the Eagles would choose one of those coaches of color that you're talking about. For instance, Todd Bowles, who they did interview, who was already a head coach with the Jets and is doing a great job for Tampa Bay on the defensive side of the ball. My guess is the reason they're not leaning to a guy like Todd Bowles is the biggest question for Sirianni or any coach that takes over this team is, who's your quarterback? Which one do you choose? Are you going to wait till you see them both? And I'm guessing that's some of the line of questioning that went on in this interview process. And maybe that's why the Eagles leaned towards him, because maybe he had the answers they like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, the Carson Wentz is the biggest issue with this team. That was the downfall, you would say, of Doug Peterson among some considerations. But I wanted to land on one thing. I heard from Blackstone and heard from Spain as well. Just because maybe he's not a known name in the NFL or that you have heard of the guy, we have heard of the guy, that doesn't mean it's a bad hire. Sarah Spain, back to you.
No, not at all. But to KB's point, like, if we're going to try to drum up any logical reasons for the majority of players in the league to be black and the majority of coaches by far to not be, then we run out of ways to excuse it other than just the things that we already know, which is white people are in charge and then they hire people that look like them or remind them of them. And I do think it's meaningful to say that if we've never heard about this guy and he's never been a name thrown around as someone that's going to be in the mix, there's probably a reason for that. Maybe they're smarter than everyone. Maybe they got out ahead and this was a well-kept secret. But it's more likely that people are looking and digging deeper and deeper down into pipeline than going for people that, for whatever reason, they don't feel
comfortable
hiring.
Teams have had success going deeper and deeper. I think you recall John Harbaugh was a special teams coach when he was hired. Joe Judge was a special teams coach. Teams have had much success hiring the offensive coordinator of the hottest team in football, which is what Eric Bieniemy is. And I just want to say this as we go back to you, Kevin Blackstone. It's never just about one name, right? It shouldn't be about one name. It should never be about one interview. I mean, when they play on Sunday, it's not going to come down to which coach is the best interview. So with six of the seven jobs being filled right now in this cycle, what position is the NFL in?
They're in a horrible position. USA Today pointed out a few days ago that since 1990, there have been 327 head coaches and GMs hired in this league. 40, just 40, were black or brown candidates who got those jobs. You know what? You mentioned the problem in Philadelphia is the quarterback problem, correct? Well, what about Byron Leftwich, who's been doing a hell of a job in this league right now, played the position in this league, was a star at that position at Marshall, did heroic things there at that position. What about him? What about reaching down and grabbing one of the black coaches who have done incredible jobs in college, as we've seen done in the NFL in the past couple of years? David Shaw is not a candidate for a professional football job? You got to be kidding me. So the NFL has a lot to answer to. And you know what? I'm not really holding out any hope that they can get these things changed on their own. I think these are changes that have to be brought about at the point of bayonet.
Thanks for your thoughts. We'll move on. Let's talk about NBA last night, because this is what makes sports in general great. It will always be known as the Colin Sexton game. 20 straight points for the Cavaliers through the second overtime. He beat the Nets. He beat Durant. He beat Irving. He beat Harden on his own in this game. 42 for Sexton. For the Nets, the first look at the big three. Durant had 38. Harden had a triple-double. Kyrie Irving, 37 for the team. Defense optional, maybe? Kevin, on your first look at these new Nets.
Well, I mean, there was enough basketball to go around the way those guys lit it up. Interesting that James Harden only had 2 points at the break. So they've got something to work out. But the biggest takeaway for me is defense. Now, look, it's only one game. This is a small sample size. We did this to the Miami Heat when LeBron James first got down there. We analyzed and overanalyzed every loss that they had. But here's the thing that jumps out to me. None of those guys are standout defensive players. LeBron James is an all-NBA defensive guy. Anthony Davis is an all-NBA defensive guy. They're going to have to be able to play defense to match their offense.
Jackie McMullen, first look on the new Nets.
Well, and I think KB, I do think Kevin Durant has the capability of being an all-defensive player, and I think he's better than some people actually give him credit for. But you're right, you can't go through the whole season trying to outscore everybody else. And, you know, truthfully, on most nights, you could have succeeded the way they played last night. But Colin Sexton was unbelievable, and that's no fluke. He's the foundation that Cleveland will build their team around. I mean, he's for real. But the other thing that I always look at with these three guys, and will continue going forward, is I thought Harden was being a great facilitator, being unselfish. Let's get Kyrie. This is Kyrie's night. But the thing is, you can't, when you don't have the ball, you have to still be involved in the offense. So that's what I'm going to be watching with these three guys. If you don't have the ball in your hands, are you still moving? Are you still cutting? Are you setting a screen? What are you doing without the ball?
Sometimes it's hard to forget, you know, or hard to remember, I should say, that Harden led the league in assists just a few years ago. And Sarah Spain, your thoughts and this new look Nets team.
Well, in the moment, it's going to feel like a huge game. And I would think if they were honest, everyone on that team would say they really wanted that win because they know how much we're going to prioritize game number one with the big three there. But to Kevin's point, the Heat didn't win their first game with their big three. KD and Steph Curry and the Warriors didn't win their first game once he came to the team. So we soon forget about this as long as there's progress made. But I think it mattered to them, and that's why you saw 48 minutes, 50 minutes, especially for Kyrie, a guy who hadn't played in a couple weeks. You know, part of that's their roster is limited because of the trade, and there's been some injuries. But I don't think you throw those guys out there for as much rep as many reps and as many minutes as they got. If not for the fact that you want to get this W and be able to tell everyone, look, it wasn't just KD and Harden playing well together. We throw Kyrie in and we're even better. I'm not worried about it. I am worried about defense. I do want to see over the course of a much bigger sample size how this team defends.
No, Sarah. I want to talk about Kyrie specifically here, his return and away for 7 days. He said, you know, he's excited to make this work. Is that what you saw out there, Jackie?
Yes, but first, Tony, if I may, this is something I talked at greater length about on The Ringer on Tuesday, but I would like to acknowledge and also apologize for the comment that I made regarding Kyrie last week. As for the Kyrie last night, Kyrie Irving's always wanted to have his play do the talking. He doesn't love talking to the media. I think his message was loud and clear. By the way, this was a career high in minutes for Kyrie Irving. Career high in minutes after being away for 2 weeks. You can see the talent. You can see the passion. And will this work with the three of them? I think it can. And I think Kyrie wants to make it work. He wanted to play with Kevin Durant. I think he's going to make it work so he can play with James Harden. But they still do have to defend, and that's on all of them. Colin Sexton, who scored all those points with Kyrie guarding him, by the way, ironically, was the draft pick that the Cleveland Cavaliers got in the trade for the Boston Celtics that sent Kyrie to Boston. Crazy world.
I lost track of that for a second. Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I mean, Kyrie is a marvelous basketball player to watch. He's one of my favorite players to watch any given night. And last night, you know, he looked good. He looked like he can do the types of things that we know that he can do. Now, how does that fit in, really, not with Kevin Durant, who he may have wanted to play with, but how does that fit in with James Harden? That, to me, is the question. Who among those three is going to be Chris Bosh, right, and swallow some of their pride? That's the real question. It's going to be one of those two. KD brings the ring. Kyrie got a ring because he played with LeBron. So those two need to make a decision.
You know, I hear that all the time. The guy hit the biggest shot. I know there was other huge plays.
Cleveland
he hit the
Catholic.
Biggest shot in that game and in that championship run. I mean, how that often gets kind of pushed to the side is interesting. And Sarah Spain on Kyrie's return.
Yeah, it's very simple to me. When Kyrie is out on the basketball court, I'm not worried about whether he cares about basketball. I'm not worried about whether he's going to bring it. I'm not worried about whether he's going to do the most to win. It's weeks, months from now, will basketball be the priority? That's always going to be the question.
We've been horrible. We'll take a break right here. Buy or sell is next. And I believe the suggestion has been made you should watch your kneecaps by new Lions coach Dan Campbell. Watch the kneecaps.
Wow.
We'll talk about it next. Buy or sell.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. Mm-hmm. All right. And yeah. On the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
The other NFL coaching hire, Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell, the dude. That was his introductory press conference, mm-hmm. a press conference unlike any other. Kneecaps. Mm-hmm. And he also talked about, you know, this team was going to look like the city of Detroit. Hard nose and bouncing back. Sarah Spain, what do we have here? What do the Lions have here?
Oh. This is so painful to me. And for the sake of Lions fans, I hope it turns out better than I think. But this is straight up 3-13 energy.
Really?
This is just a joke. It looks like a parody of what a football coach is supposed to be. I think the penalties for knee biting is probably prohibitive. I think the yards are going to be too much to take. I think it's always going to be next man up. There's going to be another knee to come in. So just doing this based on carnage is probably not a good game plan.
Kevin
I don't
Blackstone?
Like this. This is not great.
Well, it sounds like that's a hire from an MMA corner. That's what Dan Campbell's sounding like there. I covered him when he was at Texas A&M. I covered him when he was with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a standout player. I don't really have any particular recollection of him. I think back to my comments in the first part of this show, reached down to get Dan Campbell. He's been, I guess, an assistant head coach for a few years. We'll see. But once again, the Lions fired the coach who was getting them over the hump that they never should have fired in the first place.
Jim Caldwell, you're speaking of.
Exactly.
Just to get the exact resume on Campbell, yes, tight ends coach and assistant head coach with the New Orleans Saints. This is the first hire, I guess, by Brad Holmes, the new GM and a black GM in the league.
And
go ahead,
Jackie
Mack, for the Lions.
Yeah, this was sort of, I just didn't know what to make of this other than, like, I wanted to run out the store and buy some volleyball knee pads just to protect myself from even listening to this.
So nobody gets the rah-rah, let's go win type attitude?
I will say this. It's clear that the New Orleans players that were around him loved this guy. So I'm not going to judge him on the biggest day of his life, this press conference. He was probably nervous, excited. Let's see what he does with his players. By all accounts, he really gets his players to rally around him, and that's what the Lions need. So if he does that,
exactly,
we'll forget all about this.
Although, does anyone remember Rod Marinelli? I'm sure you do. I believe he has an 0-16 in his career. I remember his intro conference, and I believe he was talking about getting low when they block. Getting low. We did that
right.
For PTI for a month.
We'll move on. Jack, right?
There's a revolution going on in the NBA I need to talk to you guys about, okay? This is what the cognoscenti on social media call it. The Matrix. It's when you get blown by or flail to try to draw a foul and you get that Keanu Reeves dodging bullets. Look, I bring this up because there was a great one with Colin Sexton last night. Also, Joel Embiid and Daniel Tice. A flail off, and this was an issue. Sixers won this game by 8 over Boston. Marcus Smart said it's hard to win when Embiid has more free throws than the entire Boston team. Embiid said he can't believe Smart's the one calling him out for flopping. Jackie, what do you buy, what do you sell?
I'm buying Embiid. He's right about Marcus. Marcus is really good at flannel as well. And here's the thing. He was the best player on the floor by a mile. He earned those trips to the line. He's an MVP candidate right now, Tony. He is on such a mission. I talked to him a few weeks ago about his mindset. He's not going to stop. He's going to keep going to the line. And the Celtics, you know, that's on them. I can't go along with Marcus on this one. Usually I do.
Kevin Blackstone?
Mm-hmm. A big man getting fouled and going to the line where he's hitting 84% of his free throw shots, put me down for that. I love what Embiid is doing. Remember, this is the guy that had a slow start coming into the league because he was hurt. Last time we talked about him, we talked about his lack of energy. Maybe he's lethargic. Maybe he's not fit enough. He is, as Jackie said, on a mission this year. Fabulous year, 26-11 right now.
Sarah Spain.
I'm buying Embiid's answer to this, which was thoughtful, and this is how I'm helping my team, and these are the choices I'm making, and I'm selling smart because you're never going to not look soft complaining after a game about another guy getting foul calls. If there's really a problem, like bad officiating, you get your video coordinator to put together some highlights and you send it to the league officials. You don't complain about it after no one's going to hear you.
Three, five straight postponements for the Washington Wizards, and tomorrow makes six. Bradley Beal was venting about how the team would have been shorthanded and hasn't been able to get game ready, and that it's a recipe for disaster, so tomorrow's is now postponed. Memphis Grizzlies being parked the next three games. Other teams have played shorthanded, Kevin. How do you read this situation with specifically Washington for you?
Well, it seems like the NBA is going about this as it happens. We've seen teams play with, I think, that number before. I think the 76ers maybe were that team. So right. I understand Brad Beal's frustration of the franchise with this latest cancellation.
Jackie, do you feel the league is making this up as they go along? And I mean that in a positive way, like they're readjusting?
I do. I think they're evolving as things unfold evolving, here. Yeah. Remember, this was a bubble team before. This was a bubble league before that kept everybody tight. They can't do this. They knew they might run into things like this. I think it makes sense. Park the team for three games, try to contain it, and then move forward.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, from what I heard, this is a contact tracing issue. So I think the league might still be going by the same way they did everything else. It just reads differently this time. To me, the important thing is over the second half of the season, the Wizards could be playing 41 games in 67 days. If they had 20 back-to-backs with a day off after each of those, they would have a maximum of 6 practice days. I don't know how they're going to pull this off.
Evolving.
It just seems impossible.
Jackie, thank you for the right word there. Some might say, and the NBA could accuse me of making it up as I go along score-wise, Kevin Blackiston, that means you're the first to go. We're evolving in Showdown. Sarah Spain, Jackie back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Out Dwight Howard shooting free throws these days. He's moved back. Almost to the edge of the circle. That's a free throw and a half. He was red hot, 1 of 2 last night, Jackie. Has Dwight figured out free throws?
I hope he has. You know, he shot 67% on free throws as a rookie with the Orlando Magic. Downhill since then, he's had a free throw coach. He's tried meditation. Maybe this will work. Who knows?
Sarah?
This sounds counterproductive, but I've heard people say as much as sitting in this chair for around the horn makes them stressed out thinking about it. So if lining up at the stripe stresses you out, then back it up and line up.
Jack, you said maybe he's figured out, and then you told us he was shooting better from the line as a rookie, and now in year whatever, 17. No. Point Sarah Spade. We'll move on. Showdown 2. We had a game winner in the NBA last night, and it was Magic. Cole Anthony. What's the level of difficulty here, Sarah Spade?
Well, the difficulty is in knowing that Greg Anthony's son is playing already. But the fact that his reaction was so good makes us feel a little less terrible about that.
Jackie.
Amazing shot.
But here's the thing. He hit another big three just before this. And it's been a little bit of a struggle to start the year. A lot of pressure on him because Fultz is out. So to come down and hit this first big shot as a rookie, tremendous. Really great. Yeah. He's going to be a good player.
And on the other side, the Timberwolves, I mean, just another year. That's
so
just
sad.
So tough.
So
and it's very sad, for the Timberwolves. Sarah very Spain, sad. Gonna get 30 seconds of FaceTime today.
Well, I am honoring our inaugural poet, Amanda Gorman, because she also shares the beautifully color-coded bookshelves that sometimes take shade. And I'm honoring my MVP, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, with the pearls and the Bet on Women shirt. It's simple, but we all only get one body that our souls and brains are put in. And if that body happens to be female, it is a restriction that you move through life with. And that little bit of seeing a woman up on that stage and a woman in the White House for the last time before yesterday was the last time we'd be able to say that that seemed weird. Every little boy and girl that comes after will know that that's something that can happen and that's something that's possible. And for people like me who just want to move through the world and not be restricted, it's massive.
Wonderful to have you say that. Thank you for that, Sarah. And Madam Vice President comes out to MVP. right? MVP, Kamala Harris.
MVP.
And about Amanda Gorman, I mean, perfection. Radiant is the word that comes to mind. You guys write on deadline. She had it written and had a rewrite after the insurrection, and that's where she came. Beautiful. We'll see you guys tomorrow.